week I had a cyst, my pelvic area region, and it was accompanied by abdominal pain. And I was all set to go and have it surgically removed with a scalpel. And I had prayer from Pastor Lisa, and she said to go home and check when I returned home. It completely vanished, and the abdominal pain had gone as well. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord, amen. So, rejoicing all week.
Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. This year is like one of my favorite verses. This verse is like my battle cry whenever we come up with any sort of pressure. And it reads like this: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's powerful, isn't it? I have to be honest. Maybe it's just me, but I find that life has a way of turning up the heat when I'm just not expecting it. Is that only me, or does... No, is that all of you? One day it's as calm as daisies, and the next you're under pressure. The bills arrive in the post. There's a fallout in a relationship, and it's strained. Your faith gets stressed like a long piece of elastic. You see, pressure doesn't ask for permission. It just shows up. It's like walking past a bush and a little chihuahua dog jumps out from behind the bush. And they're like, onto your ankle. All you were doing was just walking and minding your own business, weren't you? But here's where courage comes in. Courage isn't pretending that you're not scared. Now, your knees can be shaking, but it's standing firm when fear tries to run the show in your life. Yeah, in this verse, in Joshua 1 verse 9, God speaks to Joshua and to us. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Not because our lives are easy, but because God is with us in the thick of whatever's going on. Do you believe that? Yeah. Listen, this isn't like I'm saying, would you like a cup of coffee? And you're saying, yes, please. This is like a serious question. I'm not convinced that you're convinced. Do you believe this?
Yes. Yes.
Then say it with me, God is with me.
God is with me.
Now I'm convinced. I once heard someone say, you don't know what's in the tea bag until you put it in the hot water. If you look at just a tea bag, it doesn't look like anything. But you boil the kettle, you put it into the tea bag, then it looks like tea. Yeah? And that's what pressure does to us, the hot water of the pressure. It draws out what's really within us. But I want to tell you, and I've experienced this, that God doesn't allow pressure to break you. But He allows pressure to show what He's already deposited within you. Joshua's story starts with fear. He's taking over from Moses. He's facing enemies. He's leading people who aren't very easy to lead. Thank goodness you're all easy to lead. Now, God doesn't just stand back and give Joshua like a little pep talk about his ability. But instead, he reminds him of his presence with him. You see, courage isn't found in our personalities, but it's found in the proximity of God to us. That the closest we are, the closer we are to God, the stronger our courage becomes. Now, I'm going to ask you, when last did pressure last catch you off guard? I'll start off. Yesterday afternoon. What about you? When did pressure last catch you off guard? Next question. Was your first instinct to panic or to pray? For me, panic. Where might God be inviting you to grow stronger and harder? For me, to step closer to Him. What about you? How are you reacting when that pressure comes, when that bad day comes, when that little chihuahua puts its little mouth around your ankle and just won't let it go as much as you try and shake it off? Do you panic or do you pray? Do you draw closer to God or do you move further away from Him because that's what your panic will dictate? There's a quick prayer that we could say. Try and memorize this with me. Lord, draw me close. Let courage rise because you are near me. This is what I call a bullet prayer. Come, let's practice. Lord, draw me close. Let courage rise because you're near to me. I once dropped a mug, and this is true, Janet. I once dropped a mug that I'd had for years. It was like one of my favorite mugs. Do you have a favorite mug? There were tiny little cracks, but it didn't shatter. And I later learned that it had actually been strengthened because it had been put through the kiln fire twice. So it went through double the heat. Pressure exposes weakness, but it also proves strength. That every trial that you and I have survived has already made us more resilient than what we actually realize. David faced the pressure of Goliath, the giant. Daniel faced pressure in the lion's den. Esther faced pressure in the palace. You know what this tells me? It tells me that courage isn't born in our comfort zones. But courage is born in crisis. That we don't learn bravery by just reading about it. But we learn bravery by living through the pressure. What's your current giant? What's that's standing in your way and making you fearful and intimidated? The thing that makes your knees shake, never mind when you look at it, but even if you think of it. And what might God be strengthening in you through this moment? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 9. I'm just summarizing it into the little bits. It's not the whole verse. It says, we are hard pressed on every side. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is powerful stuff. Perspective doesn't change the pressure, but it changes how we carry the pressure. The Apostle Paul says here, pressed but not crushed. Do you know what that is? That is faith saying, yes, this is real, but it's not final. Now, I once, in Africa, that when you have a rain downpour, you sometimes have to pull off the road. That's how bad it is, because you just cannot. You cannot see. We once drove through heavy rain, so heavy I couldn't barely see. And I turned on the windscreen wipers and the storm didn't stop. But guess what? When I put the windscreen wipers on, I saw more clearly. I saw differently. And that's what perspective does. It doesn't remove the storm around us, but it clears our view so that we can keep going forward. When David saw Goliath, he saw an opportunity. When Daniel saw the lions, he saw divine company. When Apostle Paul saw prison, he saw a pulpit. And here's the truth. What you magnify will become your master. If you magnify the pressure, then you will become overwhelmed. If you magnify God, the pressure then starts to fall into perspective. Magnify God above any pressure that you face. Turn on the windscreen wipers in your life so that you can see clearly instead of being all fogged out and disorientated. Who's going to do that from now on? Come on, say it with me. I magnify God above my pressure. Here's another quick prayer for you. Lord, give me new eyes that are honest about pain but are anchored in your hope. Let's practice. Lord, give me new eyes.
Lord, give me new eyes.
That are honest about pain, but anchored in your hope. Who suffers with impatience, with waiting? You know, it's a nightmare for me in Tesco. Seriously, it's an absolute nightmare. It's like, never mind in the aisles while I'm buying the stuff. I've got my trolley and there's people like they're standing like three in a line walking in front of me at like 2 miles an hour when I'm trying to go at 100. And they're not moving past and that they're just like in their own world, and I'm sort of started like going, see if they hear me in case they don't realize I'm behind them. And then they have like this audacity to do a quick glance, but they don't do anything, they keep walking. And then I'm starting to like think, okay, I'm going to stop being a Christian for 5 minutes right now. And then you get to the checkout. Oh, my days. You get to the checkout, and there's a queue like about 10 long of you, right? And you think, okay, pull out the phone and you check all your messages, your emails, look at a bit of social media, and you look up, and oh, I'm only number 5 in the queue now. And then you're just number 2, and the person in front of you, they've got like all of these bills they wanted to pay at the till, and they're pulling up this whole pile out, and they're doing them one by one, and eventually, like 5 minutes starts feeling like 10 hours, and you're going. And then the till next to you opens. The waiting! I don't like waiting! You feel sorry for Janet when I'm driving. Oh, dear Lord. She gets like the full on, like, wow, they're going so slowly. What's wrong with these people? Can't they drive? Yeah?
It'd be a nightmare in
Janet. But what's it like when we wait on God? Do we react in the same way? See, waiting seasons can feel worse than the storms that we face when it's just so silent and you're showing up and you're praying and you're wondering if God's even listening, but all you're getting is the silence from God. You're wondering, like, are you still there? Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I've learned now that waiting isn't wasted time. Look, I haven't improved in the car very much, but I have improved in the supermarket queue. Because I've now discovered that while I'm waiting in the queue at the supermarket, I can pull up my Bible app. And I can read all about God's promises. All about how God feels about me. All about my purpose. I can stand and read it there instead of getting myself into a silly little state. And you know what? The enemy doesn't like it when I read the Bible app in the Tesco queue, because that queue moves a lot faster when I do that. How are you with the waiting? How are you with the waiting on God? Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Waiting isn't wasted time. It's training time. Waiting with faith builds a different kind of courage, a quiet, resilient, game-changing courage within us. It's like sitting in an airport for 8 hours. The delay wasn't a denial. But it was a safety measure, because the weather wasn't right for takeoff. They made that decision for the delay to keep the passengers safe. But the passengers didn't like the waiting, so they all started kicking off at the customer service desk. So what do we do with God? There's passive waiting, which is do nothing and just wish. And there's active waiting, where you trust and you obey and you prepare and you keep moving. That you pray even when you don't see the results. That you show kindness before it's deserved. And you prepare like the answer from God is already on its way. Who needs strengthening today in the waiting period while we wait for God? Because He's promised it to us. He's promised on us Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Would you say this with me? In the waiting, God is strengthening me. Now I'm going to just challenge you. Where do you need to shift from passive to active waiting this week? And what one step says to you, Lord, I'm ready when you're ready. We saw in that video the story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and that's in Daniel chapter 3. That sometimes courage doesn't look like charging into battle, but it looks like standing still when everyone else is just walking away. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God is able. But even if He does not, we won't bow. You know what that is? That's settled faith. That's conviction over comfort. That's obedience over approval. And maybe you've been with a group of people that all agree on something that's not right, and it's awkward to be the only one to speak up. Ever been there?
Yeah.
But courage isn't about winning the room over, but it's about keeping our integrity. That standing alone doesn't mean that we're actually alone, because heaven is standing with us. And often our stand will give others the courage to stand with us. Do you say with me, even if I will still trust Him? So far we've talked about pressure, waiting and standing. And now what about when you mess up? When we mess up and we think we've totally blown it, and we are actually calling the end when God hasn't called it. Sometimes the loudest pressure is your own regret. Proverbs 24 verse 16 says, the righteous fall seven times. Seven times! But they rise again. That God never treats failure as final, but He treats it as formative. Peter denied Jesus three times. Not this Peter. After the resurrection, Jesus restores him three times. He says to him, do you love me? And Peter's worst moment became the backdrop of one of the greatest ministries in the Bible. I want to ask you this afternoon, where do you need to forgive yourself the way that God has already forgiven you? What rise again step could you take today? When you fall, when you slip up, when you mess up, you've got two choices. You can stay right down there in the dust, or you can get up in the strength of God, shake the dust off you, and say, I fell, but I'm not finished. A guitar string only makes a beautiful sound when it's under tension. If it's too loose, it's useless. If it's too tight, it snaps. But God knows exactly how much pressure to apply to bring your life into tune with his purpose. The courage under pressure isn't loud, but it's steady. That it's waking up and showing up and praying through things and refusing to quit. Courage is a decision long before it's a feeling. Here's another quick prayer. Father, tune my life to your hand. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. The courage for tomorrow isn't knowing every step, but it's trusting every step is known. That faith is forward motion in the fog. God really shows you everything at once, but he shows you enough. God finishes what he starts. That's his promise. So how do we live this out? How do we walk this out? Firstly, practice proximity. 10 minutes a day. Open the Word of God and open your heart and read it. Pray first and not last. Lord, what's my courageous next step? Active waiting. Prepare like the answer is already on the way. Stand steady. Choose integrity over approval from other people. And then rise again. Repentance goes to realignment, which goes to resilience. And then there's the one line rule. Pressure doesn't define me, but God's presence defines me. So here's what we've seen. When pressure finds you, God's presence holds you. Perspective changes how you carry the weight. Waiting renews strength. Standing brings divine company. Failure isn't final because grace gets you back up. The future is secure because God finishes what he starts. Come on, would you stand with me? And let's just make a declaration just to seal this all off this afternoon. It's up there. I will be strong and courageous.
I will be strong and courageous.
I will not fear.
I will not fear.
I will not be discouraged.
I will not be discouraged.
The Lord my God is with me.
The Lord my God is with me.
Wherever I go.
Wherever I go.
Now go out and live it.
Yes.
Don't leave it in here. Go out there and live it.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Live it like you mean it. Live it like you mean it.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. You okay, Alan? Praise the Lord.